Okay, we're starting the beginning of Masechet Avodah Zarah. As Tosfos points out, what's Masechet Avodah Zarah doing over here in Nezikin? So he says, after they learned Sanhedrin, which dealt with the issues of Avodah Chachamim, came, it really should have started up with Avodah Zarah right away. Except that we had two other Masechtot that really relate to the due process or the process of Beis Din, which is a Masechet Makot, Masechet Shvuot, which really extensions of Masechet Sanhedrin. And now we got back to Avodah Zarah. Now it begins, Lifnei Dehem Shel Ovdei Kochavim Shlosha Yamim. Now, before the holidays, right, or the celebratory days of the Ovdei Chachamim, 3 days, Asur Laseit V'Latet Imahem. I'm going to translate this loosely as that you cannot transact with them. L'Hashilam V'Lishol Mahem. You can't lend to them or borrow from them. L'Al Votam V'Lil Vot Mahem. That you cannot lend money or borrow money from them. Now, as the Rashi points out over here, the difference between she'ila and halva'a is in a she'ila, a person expects to get back that which they've lent to you, right? And the specific object, correct? And then with the halva'a, it's the hotza'a nitna. The expectation is that you will repay the value, but not necessarily the object that you gave, right, or lent out. Liforan v'lishvoa mihen. You cannot pay back a loan to them or take receipt of a loan from them. You can collect from them if nation made tsarhulo, because it's not something pleasant when you force collection upon someone, you force them to repay their loan. Tsarhulo, the response of the Chachamim, the Tanakhama, is afapisha made tsarhu achshav, even though it's painful immediately, sameachul achazman. But after a certain amount of time, he realizes that having the burden of the loan off his back, that has value, and that has that would be a positive in the long run. So now, what is the problem here? What's the issue of the 3 days before or after the Edehem? So Rashi writes, V'kudu mishum da'azil umodel avdei kochavim biyomedo. The problem is that we are worried about the fact that whatever happens here, whether he's able, whatever success or whatever benefit that he does get out from this borrowing, repayment, lending, right, all these transactions or interactions, that he will then give hoda'ah, he'll give thanks to his Eliel, right, to his Avodah Zarah on Yom Edo, on the day of his holiday. So anything which is in proximity to that day, 3 days in general is considered to be something that's proximate. You know, we have that in other dinim, for instance, by Dinei Shabbat, right, that 3 days before already is considered to be within the sphere of Shabbat. Therefore, one cannot, you know, if they're departing on a trip, they have to depart more than 3 days before Shabbat. And that 3 days is what we consider or classify within the sphere of influence of the holiday. So therefore, we don't allow these items to take place. Now, Tosfos asks right away, and he says, it's very nice, but how do we deal or what's going on in our time? Right? We don't have any such restriction. And if we did have such a restriction, we'd end up not being able to transact whatsoever. Why? Because yes, many comes through their major holidays. Okay, then we can avoid them. But they also have, he's talking about in Christian Europe at the time, they have a 1 day a week, right? They have their holy day, right, this Sunday. And if you were to use 3 days before and 3 days afterwards, right, that would probably, that we wipe out the week, right? There'd be nothing left. And so Tosfos asked the very basic question, what happened to this din? Why is this din no longer applicable? Or why doesn't it apply to us? Right, so he says, Mikasho, not even forget about before and after. But he says, even under Yom Eid, we don't worry about it. So now, he says, they have 1 day that's every week that they have as a holiday. And he says, okay, what are you going to say? We have this later on in the Gemara as well as another Masechtot, which is that the Avodah Zarah that's practiced by those outside of Eretz Yisrael is really Maseh Avot, right, B'yadehem, right, that's not, or Minhag Avotehem B'yadehem. It's not something that they're really a dupe or they're really going after Avodah Zarah. But nevertheless, you say, even in that context, Shmuel says you can't transact on the Yom Eidam. There's still 1 day that is Asur, and yet we don't practice that whatsoever. How come we don't distance ourselves from, right, the interacting with them, transacting with them, or having any proximity to their holidays or their holy days? So Tosfos' first answer is, Kach nira d'shari mishum eva. He says it's eva, right, that if we don't interact with them, then it will generate some sort of hatred, some sort of backlash that we're not interacting with them. So Tosfos says that works well for certain of these items. He says, yeah, you could do that with the she'ila, right? You could talk about halva'a. You can talk about those items in the context of eva. But to say la, take the name of him, if you're talking about transacting with them, Why is that something that would generate eiva? He says, I don't need to buy anything today. Why does a person have to... A person's not compelled to buy on any given day. A person's not compelled to transact on that day. A person could avoid transacting or say, I just don't need it. That doesn't generate eiva. And therefore he says that it doesn't seem to answer the question or address the issue, because it's true for some of the items, but it's not true for the major item, which is l'seif l'teitei mehem. So that can't be it. So Tosus moves to a second answer. A second answer is something that we've seen in Baba Kama. We discussed it a lot when we were in Baba Kama. Over there by Shor Shel Kuti, Shenagach Shor Shel Yisrael, or the other way, Shor Yisrael, Shenagach Shor Shel Kuti. There, the Gemara talks about the difference in din between, you know, what is a Knani, Shor Knani, versus what is a din of a Shor Yisrael. And on that spot, the Meiri comments, he does it here in Avodah Zarah also, in the second parak. He also does it in Baba Kama on Daf Lamed Chedem and Aleph. I think he's brought in the Shita Mekubetzet there. It's the only place in Baba Kama there is a Shita Mekubetzet on the Daf. He brings the Meiri, and he makes a statement like this, which is in the second wide line of Tosfos. Kach nira dutam ha-heter, bishum do akum shebeneinu kimlan begavayu delo palchul of del chachamim umahai time ashori. The people that we live amongst are no longer Ovdei Avodah Zarah. It's a big statement. It's not such a simple statement, but it's a big statement by the Tosfot, and we find it prevalent in especially Ashkenazi commentaries of the time in Christian Europe, that maybe those that we live amongst, right, are different. Now, when the Meiri says it in Baba Kama, there you could talk about it, it may be different, because there the Gemara talks about how they were not Megudar in civil and social laws, and therefore that's why the din of Shor Knani or Shor Kuti is different. So then you could argue that when you're talking about a westernized Europe, that they do have a code, they have civil codes, they do have laws, and therefore they're different. But when you come to the core of their worship, or the core of Avodah Zarah, then it's much harder to differentiate in that way. And that we discussed again in Sanhedrin when we talked about Shituf. Right, by Bnei Noach, what's the din of Shituf? And what is classified as Shituf? Right, and we saw the machlokas there of the many Rishonim poskim of whether, you know, religions today, whether it's Christianity, whether it's Islam, these religions are classified as Shituf or not Shituf, or whether they're classified as Avodah Zarah or not. So over here, for Postos to make a statement like this, that Kim Vavayat Lo Pochul Avodah Chachamim, again, it's a view that is not shared by the Sephardi poskim for sure. They do not view, they view Christianity, the Rambam is very clear about that, as being at least Shituf or probably Avodah Zarah, or maybe out of necessity, the Ashkenazi poskim are moving in that direction. We will see it later on in the Masechet Avodah Zarah. Tosfos raises it in many issues, especially with Stam Yenam, because they were very involved. The Balei Tosfot, Rashi, were involved in winemaking, and they interacted with their non-Jewish neighbors. And the question of how much their non-Jewish neighbors couldn't touch the wine, couldn't interact with the wine, how does it affect it? How does it work with Yein Nesach versus Stam Yenam? What's the din? So we'll see that coming up in the Masechta. I'm raising it here. Tosfos raises it, makes a statement like that, like a strong statement that they're not a Ovdei Avodah Zarah. I don't think it's so simple, but that's one of his ways to address the issue. The other hand, the Rabbeinu Tam comes up with a different solution, and his solution, I mean, what we try to do now is try to change the definition or the problem associated with who we're interacting with. The way Rabbeinu Tam solves the problem is he changes the definition of what's mentioned in the Mishnah. I mean, that we define, let's say, let's take the man is transact with them, borrow, lend, all those things that are mentioned, or pay off, that are mentioned in the Mishnah. So we say the problem is, oh, you're interacting with Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So Tosfos has two solutions till now, is either Mishum Eiva, it's permitted because otherwise it'll generate a backlash or some bad outcome, or that they're not Ovdei Avodah Zarah. On the other hand, the Rabbeinu Tam says, no, you don't understand. L'seif l'teit mehem does not mean you're not allowed to transact with them. You know what it means? It's what the Rabbeinu Tam says. Hayam afresh asur l'seif l'teit mehem dafka b'midei detakrovet. It's only with things that they use towards their worship or towards their Avodah Zarah. That the restriction here is not restricted against any sort of business or transaction with them, but rather transactions that allow them to carry out their worship or carry out their Avodah Zarah. So that's what's restricted over here. So he narrows the definition of l'seif l'teitei mehem, and of course that deals with the problem in a much better way, because then you don't have to redefine, right, what these individuals, whether they are Ovdei Avodah Zarah or not, but it does change or may be questionable about whether l'seif l'teitei mehem really meant that. Now Rabbeinu Tam has a lot of proofs to this fact. L'seif l'teitei mehem really means about tikrovet, chalifei ha'ma'ot, exchanging the money, so on and so forth, that were used towards the Avodah Zarah, that's what it was spoken on. But he says, elavadai, when it comes to midei delav tikrovet, right, that things that shari, things that are not used towards Avodah Zarah, they're definitely mutar. Lo sheichel ba'ozer mevodem emekach chumemkar. Because he says, let me help you out here. When people do business, they buy and sell things, right? You go and obtain my boat tachet ha'chefetz, v'lo keach gamein batuach kol kach shi'arviach v'schorah. When you buy something, there's an exchange of value that is being brought here. You sell something, you pay money. You buy something, right? And you give the objects, and you exchange it for money. So it says that people don't give hoda'ah necessarily when it comes to business transactions. They're not always sure that they're going to make money on it. They're not always certain, right? That's an exchange of value rather than something where you can say for sure or for certain it's a one-sided transaction where they definitely get benefit and they're going to go be modil avodah zarah. Says that's not true when it comes to transactions, buying and purchasing. And selling. Those types of items don't have that automatic, I'm going to give thanks to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Gilyon Hashem, Rav Akiva Eiger says, brings down, there's a Besorah, these are the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz that is found here in Avodah Zarah. But he says at the end, V'fi Peretz Rabbeinu Tam, Ein Litzmal, Amin Hag, Ha'olam, She'afilu Mayu Machzikin Otam Ko Uvdei Avdat Kochavim, even though we classify them now, based on Rabbeinu Tam, as Uvdei Kochavim, She'erim Einu Osim Shum Tikrovet. In today, the Avodas Kochavim that they do involves no sacrificing and no worship that involves any particular item. So that would free us from this restriction because there is nothing you're going to transact with, even if they're small items that they do it with, but they're very, very limited. It's not like in the olden days where they're buying animals and they're transacting about items that they're going to really sacrifice, literally, in Avodah Zarah. Here, there's nothing except Elo B'Ma'ot, money. Only did they, right? So now you're in big trouble again, right? Because Ma'ot. He says, V'zeh lo shayach harvacha. He says that does it there. You can't talk about profits or thanks. Why? Meaning, money is fungible. It's not like the money that you gave them in particular is the one that you're going to use towards the Avodah Zarah. Money is an exchange of value, right? It's a store of value, an exchange of value. So it's not your particular money that is going to be used towards the tikrovet. They could get any money. They can exchange it. It's not anything particular about the money that you're using. He says, Umiyu nachon lahachmir. He says it should be careful. Ma'ot l'shikri shikarin ofrir. Says lend me money to my shikri. I'm not exactly sure what they are speaking about here. I say that's a negative or derogatory term. But shenikra ofrir, which I don't know what that is. About Rabbi Chanan Amar gamoto ofrir in shum isur. Even this ofrir, there's no. I don't think it's the Avodah Zarah itself. You'll see in a second. Ki mashim notnim otam leglachim ulukomrim eno mamash l'shem adachamim adotzorach hanatam. So the ofrir is it's given towards the. It seems to be to the church, right? And they use that money. That money is then given to the priests or it's given to the people who are servicing the Avodah Zarah friar. Oh, very good, excellent. So that's it to the friar. So when they come and collect money there, that donation is not a donation directly towards the Avodah Zarah. Those donations are used to support, right, those that are working in the Avodah Zarah, but not to the Avodah Zarah directly. So he says even in that, maybe you could give the money and it wouldn't be an issue. So you see here. I'll pay a fee to go in there. Very good. That's right. That would be exactly this type of idea, right? Meaning that the money's there, not necessarily used towards the religious, but rather to the maintenance of the building rather than the religious ideals or ideology of the location. So this is this Tosfos talks about. It's a very interesting Tosfos dealing with the issue. Again, we're going to bump into it a number of times through the Masechta about dealing that, okay, they're talking about Ovdei Avodah Zarah. How applicable is that to us today and to the religions that exist in today's world? I just wanted to introduce you a lot the two different ways to deal with it. One is to classify them differently. The other way to deal with it is to say that the din itself is different. I mean, rather than the classification hasn't changed, but the way that we interact with them is different, and therefore it doesn't have application today. And we saw those two answers in Tosfot.
Right. You see what they issue the problem, that they found a solution.
Right. It's very much a derech of the Balei HaTosfot. That is not true of the Sephardi Poskim. The Sephardi Poskim in general would cut the halacha as halacha. The Balei Tosfos were very, in general, had a different approach that they would say, Pok Chaziyama, the people were doing it, then they were Melamed Zchut. That's why we find many times in Tosfos, we see that by Maim Achronim, we see that by Maim Megulim, all these things where Tosfos tries to come up with Heterim as to why we don't do it, or why Havdalah, why don't we sit down by Havdalah. So all these types of things that Tosfos is looking for solutions, Tosfos many times says, look, this is what the people do, let's try to find a smach or reason that they do it. Rather than saying, this is the halacha, everybody's wrong, which was made much more the derech of the Poskei Sfarad, right, that were that way. Tosfos in general has this idea that melamed zchut to other people. Right now, remember, the two quick other things is lavotam. Lending them money is only problematic if you don't charge interest. If you do it without any interest. If you charge them interest, then there's no problem with lending them money because the interest is the tzar, meaning that they're not getting anything for free, they're not getting any benefit from it, they're actually going to dig themselves into the hole of the interest hole, and therefore you don't have to worry about lending them money with interest. The idea of liflora mehem, that you're not allowed to take collection from them, the Gemara says, and we're going to see this qualification later on, and the Gemara in Daf Vav says that when you receive payment from them, that's only true by if you have a shtar. If you don't have a shtar, it's a milvel peh, you take the money because it's kamat silmi yadam. The fact that you are now getting repaid, you're lucky, because he can deny it in any second. You don't have any evidence to the loan, therefore you take payment. So as he says, they differentiate, the Gemara later on differentiates between milvel peh, an oral loan, versus milvel b'shtar, we have evidence to the loan, that we don't take except payment. Versus where it's a milvel peh, we say take the money because you may never see it again. So Tosfos here expands that idea to today to say whenever they show up with money, you can take it, because the fact that they're repaying the money, you're lucky at this instance, because you never know if you're going to get it back again. He says that's even with the shtar, right? Even other situations, he expands that. You say l'kach ni rather read the oto milveh shebishtarenu ofilo otam sheish lahem chotmot. Even if they had the stamp of the Beit Din of the local authorities to collect with them, anytime you get money back, just take it. Now again, you have to remember the Jew status in the Middle Ages in Europe, and the fact that if they got their money back, they were lucky to get their money back, and that he said, just take it. Whenever they come to pay, you don't defer someone paying them back because it's close to the holiday, because you may never see that money again. And he says it even to the extent that if you have a mashkon, even with collateral, you could still take payment of the money, and that you don't have to worry about it, because everything is classified as matzil miyadam. So again, here you see Tosfos expanding the din, rather than changing their status, right? He says the din now is everything is matzil miyadam, versus the more narrow definition that the Gemara has. Over there, he's leaving the status of dekachavim intact, but expanding the din to say everything that we interact with them is matzil miyadam. Okay, now the Gemara says, Rav Shmuel, chatani edehem with an aleph, v'chatani edehem with an ayin. One who uses the aleph is not mistaken, one who uses the ayin is not mistaken. Mandatani edehem with an aleph lo mishtabe dichtiv, because it says in Parshat Hazinu, ki karov yom edam. Right, their day of catastrophe, their day of destruction has come close. So that's referencing over there in the context of what it's speaking about. It's talking about those over there over the Zarat that don't recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who empowered them to overcome and to succeed against the Bnei Israel, right? That ki karov yom edam, Hashem will take retribution. Their day of reckoning will come. Uman datani edehem with an ayin lo mishtabesh, also doesn't make a mistake. Dichtiv, because it says, and this is in Yishayahu Perek Mem Gimel Pasuk Tet, the Haftorah for Parshat Bereishit. Idnu edehem v'yitzdaku. Says there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, we'll gather, we'll see this pasuk. They're going to bring this pasuk down many times, and the pasuk in itself has in it that the nations will be brought together, and then idnu edehem v'yitzdaku. They will give evidence, or they'll give their witness v'yitzdaku, and then they will be justified, or they have to justify their position. So therefore, you see the word edehem used over here as their testimony, or their right. What are their actions in order to justify their ways? Now, Gemara says, Uman tani edehem, my time alo tani edehem. The one who uses the aleph, why doesn't he use the ayin? Amalecha tavro odif. He says, well, lishbor, to break, a negative terminology is a much better terminology. I'd rather use yom edam, which is used in a very negative form, right, in the destruction and breaking. So that I'd rather use. So the one says, okay, demand the tani edehem, my time alo tani edehem. So the one who uses ayin, why doesn't he use the aleph? Amar locho makagorim lohu tavro. In the end, what causes them to be destroyed? Edut sheididu beatzman. It's that the testimony that they take about themselves. What's the testimony they take about themselves? That they were oved avodah zarah balamazet. They were oved avodah zarah balamazet. That edut that they testify about themselves, that's what causes them yom edam. So this is the precursor or the trigger for yom edam. Hilkach edut adifa. Therefore, the use of the edut, edehem, with the ayin is better, or the better used term to use over here. Now the Gemara says, wait a minute. Vay, yitnu edehem v'yitzdoku. But ovdei kochavim tiv? Is that really written about the ovdei avodah zarah? Habi Yisrael tiv? That's written about the Jews themselves. Yeshua ben Levi. Kol mitzvot sheYisrael osim b'olam hazeh ba'ot u'me'idut me'idut lahem l'olam haba. All mitzvot that Bnei Yisrael do in this world, they come and they'll be me'id for them the olam haba. Shenemar. Because it says, this pasuk, yitnu edehem v'yitzdaku. They will come and testify before them v'yitzdaku, and they will be justified, they will be considered righteous. Then the pasuk continues, the end of the pasuk is, v'yishmu v'yomru emet. And then they will hear and speak the truth. So who's that referring to? Elu ovdei kochavim. So the edehem there is not referring to the, right, the ovdei avodah zarah, but rather to the, those of the Jews. And that's what the pasuk says. It says, kol ha'goyim nikbitzu yachtav. They all gather together. Who will have the ability to speak out and say, Vishmanot Yashmi Unu. And the first will come and speak up. They'll give their testimony. So who are the first? Right? So the Rishonim, the way that Rabbi Shimon ben Levi is learning his Rishonim, that are going to speak up are the Bnei Yisrael. They're the first ones who are going to speak up here. And they will be justified by their actions. And then Rishmu v'yomru emet, right? The others, the other nations, the other Ovdei Ovid Israel will hear what Bnei Yisrael did, v'yomru emet. They'll have to admit that they were right and we were wrong. Right, we took the wrong path. So Mar says, Ella, so what's the proof then? Well, then why is Ayin, using Edehem with Ayin, why is that used in our Mishnah? Ella Amar Avuna Breit Rabbi Yeshua, Mando Amar Edehem, Mehocha. It's from this. That was in subsequent parak. It's Yishayahu Mem Dalet, the same Pasuk, Pasuk Tet, and that's the Torah for Parshat Vayikra. It says there, Yotzrei Pesel Kulam Tohu. Right, those that create or fashion salim, images or idols, Kulam Tohu, they're all worthless. V'chamudehem bal yoilu, and though their adoration of those that adore them will be to no avail, ve'edehem hema, and they themselves will be witness to their lack of, right, or their negative, or the fact that they have no value. I mean, these items themselves will have, or will show, be evidence to the fact that they have no value, because they can't do anything. They don't help out, they don't help you at all. And they will also be evidence to the fact that they worshipped Avodah Zarah. That will be the edut that they did that which was wrong. So here it's Yotzei Pesam Kulam Tu V'chamudim Bal Yiru V'dehem Hema Bal Yiru U'Val Yidu L'man Yevoshu. Right? They have no, they don't see, they don't know, they everything. Me, it's... So I don't have to read you the rest of Psukim, but that's the Torah for Parshat Vayikra.
But they doesn't ask, why don't they use the other person?
I mean, it's the same answer that they gave before, but I mean, it's not, it doesn't change that fact, right? Because again, it's using the term edut. Edehem here, the second person they brought also uses the word edehem as edut, as testimony, so it's the same
answer. That's why they bring to the Shevet.
Exactly, exactly. So Darash Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa Yitim Rabbi Simla Latid Lavo Meviya Kosh Baruch Hu Sefer Torah B'Menichu B'Cheiko. He's going to make a Sefer Torah and hold it. Ve'omer L'mi Shasak Pa Yavo V'Yito Scharo. Whoever did this, took care of the Torah, followed the Torah, should come and get his reward. Miyad Nitkapsim Uvayim Uvdei Kuchavim Bar Buvya. All the nations come running up at that moment in time. So the idea that Kosh Baruch Hu is holding the Sefer Torah might have multiple meanings here. You know, some of the allegorical reasons. Why is Kosh Baruch Hu holding the Sefer Torah? So some of the ideas that are expressed here, which is interesting, is that the major religions today say that yes, the Torah was real, but then it was superseded by a Navi or by a new, right, some sort of new Torah that superseded it. And so here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu stands with the Sefer Torah and says, whoever kept this Torah, who didn't abrogate the original Torah, didn't give up on the Torah that I'm talking about, then they should come Yitol Schar. Right, so that's in, as opposed to those that have not kept the Torah. Right, and the other thing we'll see in a second is that the Yitol Schar is that not only is the Hashem holding the Sefer Torah, is that either those that learned or kept the Torah, or those that helped those to keep the Torah, that both of them will be rewarded, that's enough. And we'll see in a second that that's going to be the test for the Chachamim, is did they help or did they facilitate Bnei Yisrael's keeping of the Torah, or did they stop them from keeping the Torah? So maybe that's why Hashem holds the Sefer Torah, to indicate that it's the those that are Tomchei Torah also will be included, not only those that, you know, kept the Torah, but those that were also Tomchim at Torah. And the last possibility is that the even though the Amim have the Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach, which is that they're only required to keep Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach, nevertheless, the ultimate goal is to get to the Torah, or the what Hashem's master plan is, the Torah, and not just the Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach. Right now, Shenemar, how do we know that they come Bibar Vuvia? That's the beginning of the Pasuk, we just read it here, which is called Goyim Nikbutu Yachdav. They all came together. You guys gotta line up. You can't come here all together. Each nation and its leaders and its chachamim should come together. Shenemar. Because it says, Ve'asvu le'umim. Right, so that's how the pasuk begins, right? We just read it to you before. Kol goyim nikzvu yachtav. Ve'asvu le'umim. So what's le'umim? Ve'in le'um, or in le'um, el malchut. Le'um means the kingdom or the leadership, Shenemar, because it says by Yaakov and Esav, le'um le'um yamatz, Rabbi Yovot Zeir. So le'um le'um means that the kingship, or it will grow, right? The king of the kings, or the leadership over the leadership, yamatz, will be stronger. So Mar says, yomi yikor buvya kamei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why is there, what type of confusion does the Kodesh Baruch Hu have when it comes to becoming before him? And the question is strengthened. You know, we're coming up to Rosh Hashanah. There we say, well, that Hashem is judges everybody in one group, like one shot. Hashem does everybody. Yodea kol libot. He knows everybody's ideas, everybody's leiv. He knows in one shot. So over here, what does it mean? Akash Baruch says, what are you coming all in and mixed up? Elok yeched lo libruvu inhu b'hadei adadi. They shouldn't get confused. They're going to come and make claims before Akash Baruch Hu. If everybody's speaking at once, everybody's trying to do it at the same time, they're going to be nistamut ayinotav. They won't be able to make their claims. They won't be able to make clear statements. Dishmu my dharma lohu. They won't hear what Akash Baruch Hu has to say to them, and they won't know how to respond or to answer the questions. So mad nichnas alafanav machut romi. First one to enter is the Roman Empire, or the Roman nation. We'll loosely translate that right as Esaf and the Western civilization. Tchila, my time. Why are they going first? Mitshum de chashiva, because they're the most prominent. Uminalan de chashiva.
They're using present tense. The Romans using present tense. Not yich. It's not a future tense.
Well, it's talking about a story in the future, right? I mean, the story started out in the future, and then it says in the future, then it says in that time, then it talks, uses the present tense. Right. That it's not that it's talking about now, it happened right now, but rather that based on the beginning of the story, which is so in that context, it'll say in that context, they will use the present tense of what's happening. Right, so then it says, because it says in Nevuah Daniel, where he sees the four chayot, says that of those four chayot, the last of the four chayot is the most ferocious. Right, and it comes, and that chayat says, "Vetechu kol hara," devours all the nations or all the lands. Ududushina, and it tramples v'todukina, and it crumbles them. And we know that that refers to Rome or Esav. That's what that last animal in the Nevuah of Daniel refers to. So therefore, since that's the most ferocious and brings the most terror and dominion over the world, they're the first ones brought to judgment. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, zu Romi chayevet. This is the Romi chayevet over here. The Gemara uses chayevet that it will be held culpable. Tosfos here says, why is it called that? Because he says Rasha is Targum Chayava. That's the other one possibly is Romi Rasha, which again they had suffered much under the Roman rule, but the Hadrianic laws which affected the Tanaim, and later on under beginnings of the church where the Amoraim also suffered under the Roman Empire, right? That may have been their negative view or stance towards Rome. Right, that's one possibility. Or the other one, he said, "Nimtzah Maser Rechavak." He must say the Rabbi Chanina ben Chaya Nigzal Romi Churban Gadol. That might be their end. I mean, that's the end game. In the end, what's going to happen to Rome is the Churban Gadol. So Chayevet over here refers to their outcome or their end game, which is that in the end they will be held culpable and they will be destroyed. The ones who will be destroyed in the end. So now Shetiva Yotzab Yatzab B'Chol Olam. Right, their name, or they're well known throughout the world. Wait, why do we know that the one who's most important goes first? Kidrav Chista. Damar Chista, Melech Vitzibor, Melech Nichnas Tchila Ledin. When it comes to a king, the leadership versus the common folk, the lay people or the nation, the king goes first. Shneamar, because it says, this is by Shlomo Melech, and this is for those that lived in Chutzvar, this is the Haftorah for Shmini Atzeret, which is at the end of Shlomo Melech davening to Hashem in the consecration of the Mikdash. He turns around and gives a bracha to the Yam. And in turning around to give the bracha, he says, Lasot Mishpat Abdo, Umishpat Amo Yisrael. Right, to do the Mishpat Abdo, and then only afterwards Mishpat Amo Yisrael. So first it's the Mishpat of the Eved Abdo, means, right, him, the king, Shlomo HaMelech, and afterwards Mishpat Amo Yisrael. So you see, the king gets precedence before the Am when it comes to judgment. This is also, for those that live in Eretz, so you bump into this in the Hoshanot. When we end up in the Hoshanot each day, we say this, right, that Asher Hananti Lifnei Hashem, that that we say every day at the end of the Hoshanos. The time of mine, so what's the reasoning? Why does the king go first? Just a nimus, it's etiquette. You don't leave the malkum evrai. You don't leave the king sitting outside while you take care of everything. You take the king first out of etiquette. You don't leave the king sitting outside while you take care of the others. That's one possibility. Before God gets really angry, we bring the king in. Meaning that when you're dealing with, which is an interesting idea here, when you deal with an individual like the king, we want to get him in before Hashem gets really angry. The tzibur has a protection by being the tzibur itself. So therefore, we'd rather have the tzibur go in when Hashem is angry, rather than the individual take the brunt of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's anger. So if he first sent the tzibur in, and then Hashem got really angry, he would take it out on the individual. The melech then would stand no chance. So rather bring the melech in first, and then the am afterwards. So Amar Lehem, HaKodesh Baruch Hu, Mayasaktem. What did you do? So now over here, the question what you do goes back to what we said before, is what did you do in order to facilitate Bnei Yisrael or facilitate Limud HaTorah and the keeping of Shmirat HaTorah in the world? So obviously they can't answer, right, we persecuted the Jews, right, we destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. Those aren't going to be good answers. So what do they have to say? We made many marketplaces. We made many bathhouses. We created wealth. Right, in our empire. We only did it for Bnei Israel, in order that they should keep the Torah. Now, of course they didn't do it to Bnei Israel keep the Torah. Meaning that we know that that's not the case. So what are they saying here? They're not lying. But what they're saying is that no, of course they did it for personal motives and personal reasons. But Bnei Israel were beneficiaries of that. I mean, if we set up Shvakim, yeah, true, it's for our own benefit. But on the other hand, that benefit also accrued to Bnei Israel. They found it easy to make a living. They found it easy to gain merchandise and produce, therefore it made it easier for them to learn Torah. Same thing with Mechatzot, they were able to take care of themselves, right, when it comes to Zahab, that the wealth increased, that there were more people who were able to spend time learning Torah. So they say, yes, may have been for our personal benefit, but did benefit Bnei Israel. They were beneficiaries of that largesse, or that which we created for ourselves. Right.
The word is asui. So the Roman citizen, it doesn't matter that we have different intentions. The fact is that the Jews enjoyed and then they had money.
Trickle down.
Right. We have to look at the tachlis. We had not done the intention.
Right. Very good. Very good. So Amar Makadosh Baruch Hu, Shotim Shvalom, Kol Masha Asitem Latorach Atmechem Asitem. You only did it for your own benefit. Come on. Let's be honest. Tekantim Shvakim Lo Shibem Zonot. Right, you made the Shvakim in order to put up, harlots there. Now obviously he could have just said that. Hashem could have just said them to do business for your own benefit. But he had taken the most derogatory, right, the most disparaging thing that they did. Merchatzot adin behen atzmechem was to the glorification of your own self and your own body. Kesef zav shalihu, and the money is all mine. Shenemar liya kesef liya zav neum Hashem, and all the monies belong to me. It's all mine. Amar neum Hashem tzvakot. Then Hashem says some klum yesh b'chem magid zot. Do you have anybody who can say that? Now this goes back to the pasuk in Yeshayahu, right, which says, "Kula goyim nikmitzu yachtav yasvulu mi bahem yagid zot." So by the way, it's quoted wrong here. It's quoted bahem, which is with the chav. It's really bahem with the hay. See, mi bahem yagid zot. Right? Who amongst you should, right, who can say what's in zot? Elo Torah. That's Torah. She never bezot haTorah. She's a Moshe. Right. So then, what? Who? Do you have anybody who learned Torah? Anybody could speak to the Torah that you were keeping. So miyad yatzu b'pachei nefesh. They went out distraught, pressed that they had not succeeded in defending themselves.
I mean, they weren't under obligation to disseminate the Torah.
Right. It's not. We just said before that if that's the ikar tachlit olam, that they don't necessarily have to keep the Torah themselves, but they have to facilitate Bnei Israel keeping the Torah. That is tachlit olam. That they have to, even if they themselves were not obligated in Shmirat HaTorah, they should have facilitated. So that's what Gar Sherzer's question then. What did you do to facilitate Torah here? And the answer was nothing. So that was, they tried to give some claim, and Hashem said no, that it was your personal interest, not benefit or directed towards the benefit of Klal Yisrael.
Hashem is saying, your real version is the exact opposite.
I mean, here they're not only neutral in helping Bnei Israel. What they did was negative, right? It's all machud. Rami nichtas machud paras acharei. So the Persians coming afterwards. My time. Oh, why do they come second? Achar shiva batra, because they come second. Because it says by the Arba Chayot by Daniel. It says v'aru. It's very interesting here. The Gemara. Daniel is written in Aramaic. In Aramaic, in Daniel, all these words end with hey. Yet the Gemara, which is also using the Aramaic, quotes them all in Aleph, with an Aleph at the end. It's just an interesting thing that they did. It says, Baruch Heva, with a hey, Achari Tinyana, again with a hey, that a second animal came in afterwards, Dam Yoludov, that looked like a bear. What's interesting is, even though that the dove is second, the Romans who went in first were the fourth animal, not the first animal over here. But nevertheless, the Persians are here in that listing of the second. The Tani Rav Yosef, Elu Parsiim, these are the Persians, Shochlim Shotim Kedov, they eat and drink like the bear. That, I assume that's not a compliment to their eating habits. Right? Umusur Levavim Basar. Umusur Levavim, Rashi says, is that they are covered. Covered in the flesh, but means that they were fat, that their folds of flesh were folding over them. Kedov, like a bear. Umigadlin Sear Kedov, they grow, their hair grows out like a bear, and they're never at rest like a bear who paces back and forth. So too, they're never at rest. So therefore the dove, this second animal in the nevuah of Daniel, or the images that he sees over there, refers to Persia or Parsiim. So Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what did you do? We built bridges. We conquered many cities. We waged many wars. We're doing all this for the benefit of Klai, so that they should be all safe with Torah. Not only did it for your own benefit, to count them gesherim, to tell mechas. Built the bridges to collect taxes. You conquered cities and you took over and you fixed up these cities in order to what? To subjugate the people, to collect. Either way here, it's person taxes from them, to put them to work. They vote as a melech, or to put them into the army, right? To subjugate their animals, the people, to work for the government. Mechamot ani asiti. The wars, that comes from me, Shinemar, Hashem Yish Machoma, and Hashem is the one who wages war. Again, is there anybody here who could speak to the Torah? Shinemar bi bahem, again with a hey. Yagid zot, vein zot, elo Torah, Shinemar zot, Torah, Shasem Hashem. Yad yatsu b'fanav b'pachei nefesh. So they went out distraught. V'chim achar d'chazid machut paras machut romi. After the Persians saw what happened to the Romans, they made very similar claims, and it didn't work. Why would they even bother to come in? Why are they coming in after the Romans and making the same claims? So my time, why'd they go in? Amri inhu satre beit hamikdash. He says, wait, no, we have a big difference between us. The Romans destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. Ba'anan baninon. We, in the time of Koresh, the Yavish, helped the building. We facilitated the building of the second Mikdash. So therefore we thought, what? It'd be good for us to come in, it'll be a good time for us. The Gemara says, V'chein l'chol uma v'uma. Then all the other nations too. Now the question of l'chol uma uma, what that means. L'chol uma uma can be all other nations. That could be just a generic statement. Tosus on the other hand reads, l'chol uma uma means the other two nations that are mentioned in the Nevuah of Daniel. Bavel and Yavan. Bavel and the other one, we're talking about here, the other two nations that are mentioned, and they're the other two, superpowers, let's call it, in that time. So they too also, v'chein l'chol uma v'uma. So Gemara says, V'chim achar t'chazu l'kamai t'lo mahani. They said that the first didn't help. Why did they go in? So again, the question could either be about all other nations, or the question could be about Bavel and Yavan. They subjugated Bnei Israel. But we did not subjugate Bnei Israel. Meaning that we didn't put them, or they were not under our subjugation. Right? So therefore, maybe we had a chance. We had a better chance at this. Of course, it didn't work out. Why are these considered significant or important, and the others are not? Says Hashem, Mishum Dahanach. Right, so that's a good question. Were they referring to these four or these two? Right, it could be the question here. So Hashem says, Mishum Dahanach, Mashchei b'malchutayu atu Mashiach. These, their kingdoms or their rulership will last until the time of Mashiach, which it makes it more likely that it's talking about Paras and Rome than rather than all four of them, but rather Paras and Rome. Now, easy to understand. The question really comes up here. Do you understand how Rome is represented? They're the Bnei Esav. They're Rome, and then the Western civilization or modern day Western civilization is really the continuum of that Roman Empire. So you're going to understand how that exists. Now, it's interesting. Many of the commentators wrote at the time where Persia was Iran. It says where modern day Iran is. So why? What does Iran have? Why is it such a big deal? Now today might not be such a big question because we know today that already Iran is becoming a major problem. It could be a major issue in terms of world politics and stability. It might have to do with Iran. It may not be such a big question anymore. But the Greeks, I think that the Gemara is really focused on the two bigger ones. But what Rishonim speak about here is that the Paras comes from those areas where they had the ascendancy of Islam, and that would refer to the Bnei Ishmael. And then you'd have the Romans, which referred to Bnei Esav. So the other two children that didn't make it through, that Bnei Israel, where that there was a balance between them. You have Yitzchak and Ishmael, then you have Yaakov and Esav. Those two represent those two nations, or those two nations that will come until today, until Atu Mashiach, that their Malchut will continue until Mashiach, until that we see today. That Islam and Christianity are the two major religions, or Western civilization and Islam are the two major worldviews that direct the thoughts of nations today, and that would make sense in this context. So this is your question before Shaul. You didn't give us the Torah that we didn't reject it. What do you mean? You come to ask us about the Torah, you never gave it to us that we didn't reject it. We reject it. So Mar says, what do you mean you didn't give it to them? Right, Ufiya Mehar Paran. So it says that Hashem came with Seir, Ufiya Mehar Paran. Uchtiv. It says, Alukami Teiman Yavo. And the end of that pasuk is, Ukadosh Mehar Paran Sela. Right, so that's actually the Haftorah. Again, this is in Chutzlar, it's the Haftorah for the second day of Shavuot. You can understand why. Because this is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. What the Gemara is about to say is what? This is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. What is Hashem doing? My boy is Seir and my boy is Paran. What's Hashem doing in Seir and what is Hashem doing in Paran? Now Paran refers to Bnei Ishmael. Seir refers to Esav, the Bnei Esav. And Teiman is not asked over here, as the Tosfos points out, because Teiman is subsumed under Seir. It's located in Seir. So therefore, that's why he doesn't ask. So there, why is Hashem running around in Seir and Paran? So the problem, or the interesting thing here, is why did the Gemara bring the second pasuk from Habakkuk? Right? Because the pasuk in Tosfos Bracha says, "Vayom Hashem Sinai Bar Zerach Seir Lamao Ofia Mihar Paran." Paran and Seir are mentioned already in the Torah. Why does it bring the Paran over here or the Teiman? So therefore, Tosfos over here tries to say that no, the Teiman here is not talking about the Teiman that is subsumed under Seir, but the Teiman means from the south. Anything from that, the southern direction. And that's what Teiman means, with the Ruach Dromit. And then based on that, that's why they brought the pasuk from Habakkuk, because Teiman, not because of Paran. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan Malechik, Zira Kodesh Baruch Hu Uma V'Uma V'Lashon V'Lo Kiblua. Hashem went around to all the nations to offer them the Torah, and they did not accept it. Actually, by Yitzhak Yisrael V'Kiblua, until the Jews accepted it. Elachi Amrei, this is what the claim of their claim is. Klom Kiblua Nua V'Lo Kemuna. You're right, we didn't accept it, so then we didn't keep it. You're right, because we didn't accept it. Valda Tavar Tahon. Right? So no. So they say, no, on this, that's what they're being on. My Loki Blanua. So they said, oh, you know, that's exactly the problem. They say, okay, we didn't keep it, but we never accepted it that we had to keep it. So that's the problem. You didn't accept it, that's the problem. That's what you're going to be held accountable for, because you never accepted the Torah. Elakach Omrim, Lefanav, Ribono Shel Olam, Kum Kafita Alenu Har Kegigit. Did you put a big barrel on top of us, like a mountain, like a barrel on top of us, Loki Blanua, that we didn't? Kemosha Sita Lisrael, Dichtibi, Yetzibu, and Tachtita Har, they stood at the foot of the mountain. Ramdimi Brachamo, Mecha Kafa, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kegigit, Al Yisrael. Shem put a mountain, held the mountain over them, like a barrel. You want to accept it? Good. That'll be the end. So how come you were machriach when they sought to accept it? You never put us in that position where you had to accept it. Right. So that the early ones will tell us. Right. That they, again, Perek Mem Gimel in Shayahu. Again, it's from the same parak that we're talking about. That they will speak. The early ones will speak to us. What's that mean? So it says sheva mitzvot shekibaltem hechem kiyamtem. Let's just talk about what you did. We're obligated in. You were obligated to the Sheva Mitzvot. Where are they? Did you do them? How do we know that they did not keep the Sheva Mitzvot of Bnei Noach? The Tani Rav Yosef, again, this is the same Chavakuk that we just read before, right, that's read on the second day of Shavuot. There it says, Amad v'yomadeid eretz. Hashem stood up and measured the land. Ra'ah v'yater goyim. He saw and he dispersed the nations. My Ra'ah, what did Hashem see? Ra'ah Zayin Mitzvot Shekiblu Alehem. He saw the Sheva Mitzvot that they had accepted. B'nei Noach, V'lo Kaimum, and they did not keep them. Kevin Shalom Kaimum, Amad V'yater Alehem. So here, V'yater, instead of being dispersed, means Heter, means that he freed them of that obligation of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. And if you remember, we saw this in the Gemara and Sanhedrin. The Gemara and Sanhedrin says, Itgore Itgore. Right. That's the reward. The reward is, you don't keep the mitzvot, you no longer have to keep them. Now someone who sinned benefited. You took away the obligation to keep the mitzvot, the Sheva Mitzvot. Now they're not going to be punished anymore. So, Amar Mar Bered Ravino Lo Mech Afal Pi Shemikaimim Otam Ein Mekabelim Alehem Schar. No, that he didn't. He was not matir them. He didn't free them of the Sheva Mitzvot. No, he just said that they no longer will get reward for them anymore. The question of the other side, which is, do they get punished? Do they get punished anymore? Yes, they will not receive reward for them, but do they get punished for not keeping them anymore? That is subject to a machloket rishonim over here, whether they do get punished, even though they're no longer obligated in keeping them, they're no longer, they will no longer get schar for keeping them. So what it says here is that the Sheva Mitzvot are in place, but because they basically ran wholesale over them, Hashem says you'll no longer get reward for keeping them because you basically rejected it and threw it out the window. You know what? Wait 1 second, and you'll get to it. I think the Gemara answers it. Hello? And they don't get rewarded. How do we know that even an Obdei Avodah Zarah, right, is, goes ahead and learns Torah, that he's like a Kohen Gadol? Talmud Lomar, Asher Asel Tam Adam V'chai Behem. Kohenim Levim Yisrael Lo Ne'amar. It doesn't say that you're a Kohen Yisrael or Levi is keeping the Torah. It says, Ela Adam. Any person that keeps the Torah, V'chai Behem. Again, the problem of Adam, referring to a non-Jew, Tosfos raised it over here. We've seen this Tosfos many times. We saw it together in Sanhedrin. We've seen it in, I think, in the Baba Kama as well. Many solutions that Tosfos brings up. Only one of them is right here of the Rabbeinu Tam. You have to reconcile why here the Gemara thinks Adam does include a non-Jew, and why, by when it comes to Tumat Ohel, Zot HaTorah Adam Ki Yamut Ba'ohel, there they say refers to Bnei Yisrael and not to a, right, Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So you have to reconcile between them. I'll just point you out, you can look in the Tosfos and see, even though it's not the main sugi, the sugi is in other places. Ella, lomar lecha she'ein mekablim aleihem schar kemitzuveh ve'oseh, ela kemi she'ein mitzuveh ve'oseh. So that's the answer to your question. They will get schar. It's not negative than midat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but rather, they will now get schar as those that are not commanded to do it. Damar Rabbi Chanina, gadol mitzuveh ve'oseh, yoter mishein mitzuveh ve'oseh. Right, that's a person who keeps something when they are commanded, that's greater than when they are not commanded. Why is that? Tosfos over here claims, does that mean that the gadol mitzuveh ve'oseh perish from pnei shu do'eg tamid levatel yitzro? Okay, mitzvat baro. Because if a person starts down a path to do a mitzvah, if you're commanded in doing it, you have to keep worrying. I may stop, I may not do it, I may not get to the end. There's a lot of worry that goes into that and completing it. If a person's not commanded, they can drop out at any time. Right, that's the difference between getting a grade in a course and auditing the course. I mean that if you're going to get a grade in the course, you can never drop out because you got to be on top of the situation. On the other hand, if you're just auditing the course, you drop out, what's the big deal? If you're just there to hear the information, if you drop out, no big deal, you don't get the information that's there. So I'm saying that's the difference between Mitzvah Aseh and Mitzvah Aseh according to Tosfos. Rashi, on the other hand, here in other places says,
but as opposed to Tosfos, who thinks that they are commanded, just they will not get the reward as if they are commanded, it'll be as if they're not commanded, Rashi really believes that they are not commanded anymore. The Sheva Mitzvah, there is no tzivui anymore for them to keep the Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noach. On the other hand, they will be held accountable, or they will be held responsible and punished if they violate the Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noach. So there's no longer a command or a positive commandment for them to keep the mitzvah, but they will be held accountable if they don't do it. Tosfos, on the other hand, says that they are commanded to keep the Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noach. They just don't get reward for being as if they commanded. They lose that ability to claim the reward in that manner.
Right, there are others who suggest that the mitzvah of silver here has to do with the Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noach, that all mitzvot have two toilets. There's two parts to every mitzvah. There's a mitzvah that's a toilet of the Adam himself, and there's a toilet which has some sort of celestial. Nefesh HaChaim talks about it, Rav Volozhin talks about it in Nefesh HaChaim, that every action, every mitzvah a person does, the Torah they learn, has great spiritual, ruchani implications, but there's also benefit, the personal benefit to the individual. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that, Gadol Mitzvah Yosef, Sheinu Mitzvah Yosef, is that when Hashem was matir, the Sheva Mitzvah Yinoach, he says, listen, you didn't keep the Sheva Mitzvah Yinoach. Alright, I'm not going to be matir the Megamre, but I'm going to change their status now. True that if you keep them, they still have that same toilet, which is that personal toilet, meaning that their basic law, natural law, most of the Sheva B'nai Noach, not killing, right, not stealing. There are things that will keep civil obedience and allow people to live, social contract, and allow them to live together. That will still remain in place. But their benefit, or the benefit, the celestial benefit, or the ruchani benefit that comes from them, that will be taken away. That's what's taken away, Enu Mitzvah Voseh. They're no longer, that schar will be removed, and they will no longer have that implication, or no longer have that ability to create the spiritual benefit. The last thing I'll mention over here, which you have to reconcile, is that the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, why are they compared to a Kohen Gadol? So that is based on the Gemara in Horios, which says that Torah is Yakra Mipninim. It's more precious than jewels. So there, the Gemara Dashens Mipninim, Yoter Mi, Mishin Nichnas Lifnaim Lifnim. The one who goes all the way in, like the Kohen Gadol. And number two is you have to reconcile with the Gemara in says that a Ovdei Chachamim that learns Torah is Chayav Mita. So over here, what's the obligation over here that he should be learning Torah? What does it mean that he can learn Torah and be like a Kohen Gadol? So Tosfos answers the question over here and says that's to do with Torah of the Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noach. And that's it. They're allowed to learn the Torah of Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noach, but not the Torah as a whole. That's Tosfos over here differentiates. In other places, Tosfos differentiates between Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebi'alpeh. When it comes to Torah Shebichtav, there they're allowed to learn, and there they can attain that to level of the Kohen Gadol. Torah Shebi'alpeh, that's where they're mufke. That's something that is unique to Klal Yisrael, and that's where they're chayav mitah if they learn Torah Shebi'alpeh. Okay, we'll stop over here.